thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Well, we're back on the air. It's the Urban Sports Scene, Eyes Radio Network. I'm tired. I ain't gonna lie. I'm tired.
Why are you tired?
A lot of fun in Miami. I went to South Beach last week, Thursday. Got back Sunday. Man, King of Diamonds wore me out. Story wore me out. That's a nightclub. King of Diamonds is a strip club. And also, we end up going to Cameo my last night there on Saturday. I get no sleep.
Hey, I was thinking that you was helping counsel Riley Cooper. That's why you didn't. That's why I couldn't get in touch with you this weekend.
Oh, really? Think I was counseling Riley Cooper?
Yeah, man. I thought you was counseling Riley Cooper, man. Helping him work through his problems.
Anybody who uses the ninja word but doesn't use the actual word, not, you know, the other N-A, like the G-A at the end. They use the G-E-R at the end. It's a problem. I'm sorry. That dude needs Jesus.
Needs more than that.
Yeah. It's amazing. We'll get into that. We'll get into all that. But, yeah, Will. Yeah, it's fun, man. Miami's place to be, man. Wet Willie's. Fat Tuesdays, I wet Willie'd up.
Wet Willie's is an amazing place to go to.
Yeah, and a lot.
Ask me.
Yeah, and
ask me.
Honestly, a lot of people from the DMV and in the Washington D.C., Maryland, Virginia area tend to go to Miami a lot. I saw a lot of people from this area in Miami.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, even had a girl I pulled. She was from, like, D.C. I saw 202 on my phone.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah, man. So it's a big ups to Miami. Thanks for the good time. I plan to come back. I plan to go back there again. The strip was amazing. The girls looked great. It was a nice time. And something. The strip. I ain't gonna lie. King of Diamonds.
Compare the strip. King of Diamonds is Miami's premium strip club.
Yeah.
Compared to DC's premium strip club stadium.
They both are overrated to me in one regard.
Okay.
Because you know I like to. You know when I go to a strip club.
You like to be interactive experience.
Yeah, interactive experience. You can say that. Where I like to touch. Like the grind.
Hands
touch.
On.
Hands
interactive
on, man.
Experience.
Hands on. I like. You can't tell me if you tell me I can't touch you, then I'm pissed off. Like I gotta. You gotta work for my. We gotta work for my money. My money. I work hard for my money. And when
exactly.
I go to a strip club.
As should she.
Yeah. And when I go to a strip club, I want it to be grimy. You know what I mean? First off, it's got to be grimy. Let me give you the keys to a strip club.
All right. Give us your top 5 points to a
I don't six. Have five.
Well, give us your top qualities in the strip club.
All right. One, I like $5 a lap dance. Got okay. $5. It's ideal. All right. This $10 crap in the area is killing me. It's killing independent Wally. It's killing me. Secondly, you got to be able to touch. Like, that's the most important thing, really, to be honest with you. You got to be able to touch. You can't, like, not say, if I'm going to lap dance, I got to be able to touch. So, if you smack my hand away, you already lost me as a client. We're done, really.
The moment is ruined.
It's over. You ruined the moment.
Kibosh.
Kibosh, done. Third, like, if I ask for a lap dance, I want you to be grinding. I don't want you dancing in my face. That's stupid. Like, now you're patronizing me.
And I want juices on your shirt, not on your face.
Exactly. I want juices on my shirt. All right. I think that's pretty much my main.
All right, man. I think that.
And four, this is good. When you do that, you got to get grimy. You got to be real. You know what I mean? You got to be like, grinding on me. Like,
make it believe
that we doing it.
Like we're sharing the moment.
Yeah, we're sharing the moment. Yeah, you know what I mean? And that's my top four. Don't have five. Can't stretch it.
You can't stretch it for five?
All right, five. Yeah, all right, five. I need some decent bodies.
Oh, yeah.
Five, I need a decent body. I can't have a flat butt chick. It's got to be a decent body. So I didn't stretch it. I just stretched up to five. Thank you, Will. You helped me stretch it to five.
Hey, man. That's why I'm here, to help you improve and be a better man.
We broke down strip clubs. This is terrible. But, yeah, Matt. I mean, King of Diamonds had some bad-looking chicks, though. I won't lie. And it wasn't even their night. According to folks, their night is Sunday and Monday. So
that's kind of like Atlanta.
Yeah,
Magic City. Yeah. Monday, Magic City Mondays.
It's a rapper thing. You know, they want to see rappers.
And I guess rappers take off on Monday nights.
Yeah, they take off every night. I want to know what Loser actually goes there on a Monday. I want to say Loser because it's still a good experience. I bet you it was a better experience. But I wonder who does that on a regular, who doesn't have that type of lifestyle.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. You know, most people on Mondays, you know, most people when they wake up Monday, they're like, gotta go to work. It's Monday. And then, you know, they don't want to do anything. They want to head straight from work and come home.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they put football on Monday nights, because everyone's home on Monday.
A lot of strippers, in King of Diamond, even in this club we went to called Cameo, and they had a pole too. They weren't strippers, but it looked like they were strippers. I couldn't get it. But they climb all the way top of the pole. Like the pole is like up in the sky, like the skybox. And they climb to the top, and it's like it's a great show, right? They spread their legs, drop all the way down. It's cool. That's a good thing. That's a cool thing. I never tip. I don't tip when folks don't dance on me. So, but yeah, I appreciate that.
I agree. Hey, listen. Some people will say that's rude. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I want my own personal attention if I'm spending my money.
I'm selfish.
Yeah, you should be.
Yeah, exactly. I'm selfish, and my money deserves is represented by a selfish dude, and that's me.
Exactly.
All right. Well, like I said earlier, it's the Urban Sports and the Eyes Radio Network. Make sure you check the Eyes Radio Network site, which is www.eyesradio.com. Eyes is spelled EYES radio.com. Such shows on there are The Noise, which airs 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, check out Backfield Radio. And check out my homie Darwin, who's not on the Eyes Radio Network, but he has a show called Clutch Sports Radio, which is www.darwin-sports.com. Right now, he's busy. He always gets Washington Redskins players to interview, so he's probably interviewing some certain members of the Washington Redskins. So make sure you check his site, check out his podcast. Also, check out my homie's Voice of the Fan, Jeff. And Adonis Jones and Alex. Make sure you check all three of them out. And their website is www.blogtalkradio.com/The Voice of the Fan. Great show. Like I said, a number of times before on prior shows, their show is very similar to our show. Very entertaining and insightful.
On a side note, watching ESPN, and they're showing Phil Mickelson. This guy looks like he doesn't work out a day in his life.
He doesn't. That's why I hate golf sometimes. It's like you see all the like athletes in the world.
Yeah.
And it's like golfers can be so out of shape. Like John Daly is like ridiculous.
That's sad. To call
him an athlete is just not cool.
Yeah, I'm sorry to, you know, swerve off the path, but it just caught my eye.
No, I understand. I understand. You know, it ain't like me. Because when I went to Miami, like everybody thought I was an athlete.
That's what's up, man.
You know what I mean? I felt good about that. I guess I made the wrong career move. Anyway, also make sure you check our show out on the internet radio station, Real People Real Talk Radio. Our show is syndicated on this radio station. This site is managed by our good friends from Applegee's. So make sure you visit the site. It's www.realpeoplerealtalk.com.
All right, let's get into our tradition of pregame.
All right, man. We were talking about this before we started. Taping or Aaron, whatever you want to call it. A-Rod is getting suspended for 211 games. Fair or unfair?
I think it's very unfair because Ryan Braun's getting off with 65 games. Everyone else is getting off with 50 games. And A-Rod is getting suspended for 200 some odd games. He's doing the right thing by going for an arbitrator, trying to get that reduced because, you know, to me it's completely unfair. And also on a side note, did you hear the comments from the Texas Rangers about Nelson Cruz's suspension?
No, explain.
Well, all right. Well, essentially, if you've been paying attention, the Texas Rangers, I believe, are 2.5 games back from the AL West pennant, or the AL West division title. Essentially, their upper management wants Nelson Cruz to – they're disappointed because he didn't appeal his suspension so he can continue to play so they can catch the Oakland A's. Yeah, sure. And
they want him to appeal.
They want him to appeal so he could play so it wouldn't hurt the team. To me, it's kind of like, all right, and this is why I say kind of, you know, baseball has created a culture where it's okay to use steroids and PEDs and, you know, and HGH. Because, you know, if your employer says, hey, you're hurting the team, not because you got suspended, because you wouldn't appeal your suspension because we're in a pennant race, that just makes me think that the organization is not as complicit, but has a level of complicity as the athletes who took the PEDs.
Yeah, I've always stated that. I've always stated that PED. I never blame players. Well, in the past, when it was really popping back then, now everybody's trying to go back and suspend individuals for what they did or crucify them, a la Roger Clemens, Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds and other folks, even Andy Pettit, is that management accepted it. Everybody accepted it. They wanted them to take steroids. It made the team better. It made players better. It even made more money for baseball in terms of revenue. everybody wanted. They even had a campaign that said chicks dig the long ball. They welcome this environment. So anytime like when the national media or fans are really ready to blast players, I am offended for the players, honestly, because I think baseball itself should get some of the blame. Like, they should get some of the heat, not the players, the organization. I'm talking about like Bug Selig and Down should get criticized just as bad as these players do. So I'm with you on that. Now, when it comes to A-Rod, is it fair or unfair? I think it's unfair. I agree with you, Will. The reason why I think it's unfair is, like you mentioned, Ryan Braun and other folks. And A-Rod is a first-time offender. Why is he getting 211 games? And you can't tell me the reason. You can't tell me that the Yankees aren't involved in it. I don't care what anybody tells me. You can't tell me they're not involved in it for him to get 211 games. And all this talk about getting him a lifetime ban. That was ridiculous too for a guy who really hasn't been caught. To be totally honest with you,
he's never failed a drug test. He has come out and admitted before there was a drug testing policy enacted that he used steroids, but he's never failed a test. He's a first-time offender, and by MLB's guidelines, first-time offenders miss 50 games. A-Rod should miss 50 games.
Yeah. And I hope A-Rod gets away with it, honestly. I'm hoping the arbitrator goes on this side. I hope he gets away. I really hope down bottom that the dude can – maybe he's innocent. I'm sure he's not. But
– yeah.
he's not. But at the same time, he doesn't deserve what's going on. He really doesn't deserve it. I think it's quite unfair. But let's keep going. Let's go down to pregame, more baseball news. Nats in a big series with the Braves, lost game one. They're right now they're 54-58 four games under 500. So they're really not a cheat. They're not playing with everybody. They're not playing at the level of baseball everybody thought they were going to play. Do you think the experts overrated the Nats, or do you think the Nats are underachieving?
I think the Nats are underachieving. I think that, you know, last year the Nats didn't have the target on their back because no one expected them to do it last year. Actually, people expected them to do it this year. Now that they came, that they higher expectations, everyone's paying attention. They had the target on their back because they're getting everyone's best effort night in, night out. It's caused them to not live up to the level of expectation that everyone expected them to. You know, they haven't had consistency from their starting rotation, and also in their lineup, the bats haven't been as hot as they were last year. So I think it's a little bit of both, but hopefully, you know, although they're only, I think, 5.5 games out of the final wild card spot.
Oh, final wild card spot. I think I'll say about that.
No, they have no way of catching the Braves. They're like 12.5. They're like 12.5 games.
A colossal collapse, even worse than everybody mentioned in prior years. The Braves would definitely have to have a colossal collapse. You know, I think a little bit of both. A little bit of both. On them check on his Twitter, but I'm gonna talk about in my opinion. The Nats offensively have never been like, if you look at a lot of people had career years or better years that folks didn't expect them to have. Like Adam LaRoche had a really good season.
Gio Gonzalez
is a good pitcher, but he had a really good season. Other folks Ian Desmond, who's really good, had a good
season. Ian Desmond, he's following up with a good season.
But there are a lot of players. Jason Wirth bounced back. He bounced back, had a decent season.
You had Michael Morse coming off the bench.
Michael Morse back then. So, they lost a player. So the team last season was just a better team. And they actually all played well at the same time. They played well all together at that point in time. Now, they did get better getting to Narspan. Defensively, they were better by trading away Michael Morse because they had to, you know, trade Michael Morse to be a better defensive team. And the pitching staff, to me, even is a little better. If we're looking at, on paper, it was better. Now, you didn't, my thing about people, when I was stating that they're a little bit over, well, they overrated the Nationals, is I think they underrated the Atlanta Braves. And I think with the acquisitions the Atlanta Braves made it harder for the Nationals to do what they did last season, you know, putting the pressure on them. Because the Braves are such a strong team now that there's pressure for the Nats to continue to win, and that when you feel pressure, then you're going to play a particular way. And I asked the same question on Twitter, if they were underrated, if the Nationals were a little Would the experts overrate them, or were they underachieving? Cindy Boren said both. Cindy Boren is a blogger for the Washington Post. She can follow the Urban Sports thing.
Oh, that's what's up. Yeah, how you doing, Cindy?
Yeah, so big ups to the Urban Sports. We big time now. We got Washington Post people follow us. Maybe they'll listen to us and make sure we can go on the actual radio station.
Side note.
Go ahead.
With the owner of Amazon, Jeff Bert, I don't know if you heard because you're out of town.
Yeah.
The owner of Amazon, he's actually buying the Washington Post. He bought it for $250 million. So, you know, he's big into digital media now. So, you know, maybe he wants to pick us up. You know, he'll own the store. He'll own the Washington Post. You know,
yeah.
I'll negotiate a fair price.
Yeah, please,
you know,
do that, Will.
For the show, and you know, go from there.
Yeah, that's your job, Will. You do all business for Urban Sports. See, man on Facebook, man, Jordan Jordan Arvoy said overrated, right with the Blue Jays. I think it's a similar comparison. Blue Jays are really super talented. If you look at the roster, to me, the Nationals are super talented. When you look at the roster, for the Nationals, you're pegging on Bryce Harper to turn the corner. And I think he's done that, to be honest with you. I think injuries kind of hurt to set him back. But I think Bryce Harper turned the corner and being a superstar player.
Absolutely. Bryce Harper's a bona fide superstar now. You know, he's the catalyst. He's what makes this lineup go.
Yeah, exactly. My man Tony Snow said, "I know we ain't going to make it this year. Think the pressure got to us." Sad to say, the pressure definitely did get to him. I think they put more pressure on the inside the organization more than the outside. To be honest with you, Davey Johnson and some of the powers that be put pressure on the players to achieve it at a World Series level. Kenyatta said underachieving. I think they overachieved last season with the best record, but they're not supposed to be sub 500. And he said side eye to Strasburg. So it's a lot of talk about the Nats. I have Ron had something interesting to say, but I'm not going with Ron. Ron is argumentative. Big Ron, you're too argumentative to me. So I cannot read your Facebook comment.
Wow.
He's my homie, but, you know, Ron like to argue just to argue sometimes, man. It's not even entertaining.
Yeah, that's just how he is.
You know what I'm saying? Anyway, let's go to the Baltimore Orioles. excuse me, both our throats kind of jacked
up.
Yeah,
man.
Right now, the Orioles are one game out of the wild card spot. Do you think they have a chance to still win the AL East? Or is the wild card the way to go for the Baltimore Orioles right now?
I think the wild card is definitely the way to go for the Baltimore Orioles. It's just now Tampa Bay is really turning it up with their pitching. Their pitching is phenomenal, and they're getting throughout their lineup, they have a lot of guys that hit for contact and get on base. So, and you when you have good defense and good pitching, that's a formula for winning a pennant. And also, you know, you have Boston, who's in the middle of it, still trying to, you know, cement themselves. Actually, last week at the trade deadline, they went out and got
Jake Peavy.
So that's another solid addition that will help shore up their pitching rotation, which is surely needed, scoring down the stretch run of the season. So I think that for the Baltimore Orioles, going for that wild card spot is ideal at this point.
For me, I agree with you. The wild card spot is definitely the way to go. The Tampa Bay Rays, and not because the Boston Red Sox, more the Rays. The Rays are playing at a high level. They're playing the best baseball of any team in the AL. So I think the Rays have a dominant pitching staff. You just can't deny it. And when you have a pitching staff like the Rays, it's going to be hard for the Orioles to overtake them, especially being about six games in a loss column out. now, in terms of their acquisition, they picked up Bud Norris in a trade with the Astros, and they traded away LJ Hoes. Bud Norris was their best pitcher, so hopefully he'll improve. I mean, he'll pitch well for the Orioles. He won his first game for the Orioles, so that's a good acquisition for them for the stretch run, knowing that Jason Hamill is now on the DL, and Jason Hamill was struggling anyway. So this team is putting themselves in a position to try to get that wild card, but I agree with you, Will. Trying to get the the AL East is going to be hard. My man Jordan Arvoy also said something about the Orioles. Said, unfortunately, similar to a wild card situation last year, unless everything finally comes together and peeps stay healthy all at once. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think the Orioles have a better chance right now to get the wild card. Obviously, they're one game out of the wild card, so they can focus on that battle of the Texas Rangers and the Boston Red Sox for that wild card spot. Down to pregame, let's talk basketball. Wizards finally decided to
Andy up and pay John Wall 5 year. Give five John Wall a 5 year deal worth $80 million. It was an extension.
Goes into effect next season, not this season coming up, but the season after next. I'm happy for John Wall and his family. He was very emotional at the press conference. You could actually tell that you know what he was about and who he did it for. He did it, you know. Now, granted, you know, $80 million is a lot of money, but, you know, I'm definitely happy that he's able to reach a dream, which would be able to financially support all of his family and make sure that himself and his family is straight for years and years to come. So to that, I congratulate him for. But at this point, this moment in time, this juncture, John Wall hasn't done much to me to prove that he's worth a max deal of 5 years and $80 million. John Wall, you know, although when he came back last year, the team definitely did improve. But just comparing a 5 year, $80 million contract, and another point is, because it's the Wizards, you have to pay a little bit of excess because no one's knocking down your doors to come here. Even though, you know, Washington, D.C. is a fabulous place to live for, you know, young 20-year-olds and people in general. But no one's knocking down the doors to come and play for this franchise. Now, back to the point I was making. When you get a guy like a Steph Curry, I think his deal was worth 4 years, $60 million or something like that. I know it wasn't max. I know that just at this point in juncture, to me, John Wall hasn't done enough to prove that he's a max player. Does he have max potential? Absolutely. But the production on the court, doesn't necessarily say he's a max player, a transformative franchise player at this point in his career. Hopefully he develops into that over the next 5 years.
The only one I would say is not fair with the Steph Curry comparison is that Steph Curry, when he went ham, it was after that deal. So Steph Curry, during that deal, don't get me wrong, Steph Curry's always been he was a good player. Actually, should be told he wasn't a max player at the time he signed that deal. He was a max player after he signed that deal.
Yeah, yeah. And to also, one thing that people forget about the whole max Stephen Curry thing is, once they got rid of Monte Ellis and really put the ball in his hands, he showed that he was the man.
Yeah.
John Wall has had the ball in his hand throughout his duration of his career in Washington. And, you know, he's had some games, like I think it was like 48 or 50 he scored last year. But he just hasn't done it on a consistent basis, night in, night out, to me to say he makes everyone on his team better.
Well, it's a different situation. The team that was given with John Wall, even though he had the ball in his hand, he was more around selfish individuals. Golden State did themselves a big service by getting rid of Monte Ellis, because they got rid of a selfish player. John Wall has always been drenched with selfish players. I mean, you can go down the line, Nick Young, Andre Blatch. So it's good to see, and it's not a coincidence that he started playing when he got back on this team, when it was less selfish players, that this team improved with him running the show, because there were less selfish players involved in D.C. with him.
Yeah, touche. It'll be interesting to see, you know, because I think that, you know, him and Bradley Beal are going to turn into the best young backcourt.
Possibility.
They got some good competition out west with Curry and Thompson.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, you have Kyrie Irving and Dion Waiters. But Dion Waiters, to this point, hasn't pulled his weight.
Yeah, he hasn't yet. He started off the season pretty well, and now he kind of fizzled off at the end. I agree with you, though. I know what you're saying about not deserving a max deal, but I would say this. He deserves a max deal for this team. I mean, that's the difference. For this team, he deserves the max deal. I think a lot of us, we kind of don't break. Like, for this team, he deserves the max deal. Just because of how bad they looked when he was out, and then when he became healthy and played, it's a big difference. I'm only just saying for this team. I did what you're saying, but for this team, it's a max deal. For any other team, no, not at all.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Let's go down for more in the NBA. More involved in the NBA. Greg Odom signs a 2-year deal with the Miami Heat.
Three-peat. Can you say three-peat?
I agree with you. I think it's the best. Greg, great fit.
If Greg Odom, all he has to do is rest until January, then when January comes, is he able to pick up the defensive rotations? Is he able to play off of those guys? Because you're not going to run a lot of ISO plays for him in the offense. What you need Greg Odom to do is to be healthy towards the last half quarter of the season. So when you play against Indiana with Roy Hibbert and David West, when you play against the Bulls with Joakim Noah, Taj Gibson, Carlos Boozer,
New Jersey Nets with
New Jersey with Brook Lopez
and
Kevin Garnett, that's where he's going to earn his money. And, you know, also they have Chris Anderson. If Chris Anderson can bring the effort that he brought last year during the playoffs, during the championship, specifically night in, night out towards the last quarter of the season to the playoffs, three-peat.
What I like about this for Greg Oden is, A, there's no pressure on him. B, he's playing with the great LeBron James. That means easy dunks for him. C, he doesn't have to overexert himself. This is a great fit for Greg Oden. This can actually get Greg Oden to a point where he was supposed to be at. And and this is another thing. I know people talk about how he's missed a long time. He's missed a lot of basketball in his career. I think it's a blessing for where he was at. You know, always having that stress fracture. I think this is good for him. I always say, like, if you're always being hurt, like the level of Greg Oden, taking 2 years off, a year or 2 years off is good for you. The body needs the rest.
Absolutely. And just the way his knees were, those 2 years off, he had a chance to have the operations rest. He's getting himself back in basketball shape. Yeah. And he'll still have about 40 to 50 games to get himself back into basketball shape before they ideally need him for the stretch run. Yeah. So, like you, I agree. It's a great signing for him. No pressure. He's playing with the best player in the world. He's playing with Dwayne Wade, who has the most heart outside of, you know, him and Kobe. Yeah. Probably the two players that have the most heart in the NBA. You know, Chris Bosh always keep the situation light, as he's shown to do. So.
And be honest, which is it's actually favoring Chris Bosh. It helps Chris Bosh out too. Once Greg Oden gets acclimated, and they can run that big lineup with Greg Oden and Chris Bosh. And they can play big. And this is going to be something that I always said, like the Nets, you know, with the acquisition of Kevin Garnett, I think this is a team that could beat the Miami Heat. Now, with the acquisition of Greg Oden, if he stays healthy, I don't think there's a chance for the Nets to beat the Miami Heat. Let's go into the NFL. We mentioned it before, but let's talk about the racist Riley Cooper.
Oh, man. Well, as a former Eagles fan, I'm no longer an Eagles fan anymore.
Y'all gotta understand this. Will has been an Eagles fan forever. We went to Eagles training camp together.
Yeah, I was diehard. Now, I could forgive Riley Cooper for his comments. Well, you know, we moved past that. People make mistakes. Was it truly in his heart? I don't know Riley Cooper as a man, so I don't know if that's truly in his heart. But to me, there are two people that tell the truth. Babies and drunk people. Both of those people always tell the truth.
Yeah.
So that's definitely something that may have been in his heart. And to, you know, him, to for Riley Cooper also, we don't know what the person on the other side of that camera said to him to antagonize him. Now I'm just going to analyze the whole situation and his statement. Riley Cooper didn't, when he used the N-word with the ER, he didn't use it to specifically that individual. He said, "I'll jump this fence and F up every in here."
Yeah.
So he was saying that to a whole race, a whole ethnicity of people. For the Eagles to kind of almost brush it aside, trying to put this to the to sweep it under the rug, you know, to say, you know, he apologized, now we're going to help him get counseling and we've fined him. That's BS. You know, because to me, if you allow this guy to stay, what you're saying to everyone in the organization, from the CEO to the players to the field keeper to the secretaries, you have one, what you essentially are saying is you have one opportunity to use that word and get out of free jail card. Because, you know, if you allow Riley Cooper to stay within your organization, what you're saying is, you know, you can use that word, say you're sorry, and we'll move on and forget about it. To me, that's totally insensitive to a whole race, to African-American people. And that's why I've chosen, personally, I can't be an Eagles fan anymore. Just knowing that your team, the organization head, they lack leadership, lack the ability to lead. This is Chip Kelly, and this is also telling of who Chip Kelly is as a leader and a coach. Any other coach, I think, would have suspended him, fined him, and he would have been away from the team for a substantial amount of time, or even cut from the team. But Chip Kelly just essentially was like, okay, we're going to try to move past this. And not to say that you know, in life you have to move past all mistakes. But to just with such a blasé attitude is very telling of Chip Kelly, of who he is as a man, a leader, and a coach. And also for Roger Goodell to say, well, they took care of it at the team level, so there's nothing I can do per the CBA. Yes, there is. There are, I can't remember it off the top of my head, but there's an instance where the team came down and fined, I think it may have been Kenny Britt, where the team fined him and suspended him when he was going through his troubles with the law. But also Roger Goodell decided to suspend him also.
Yeah.
On top of that. So for him to say that, you know, the team's already taking care of it, there's nothing that I'll involve myself in because they're taking care of the team level, is BS. And it's just telling of, you know, on some levels of what some people or some organizations think of the word and think of African Americans in general, to be honest with you.
What annoys me more than anything, I think you hit the nail on the head, man. It's Roger Goodell not really doing nothing. We're talking about a guy who said this is bad for the game. This puts a stain on the game. You got a player who called a group of folks, whatever you want to say it, you the N-word. And not the N-word in a hip-hop way, an N-word in a derogatory way.
In a derogatory race. And also, yeah, something else. It wasn't that he used that word. He used the word not only in a racist and derogatory term, but also in a physically threatening and harming way also, yeah, because he said, I'll jump this fence, yeah, and I will F up every last,
yeah,
in here.
Exactly.
So he was saying it not only to demean that security guard as a man and as an African American, but also to threaten his safety, yeah, and threaten him physically.
Yeah, it's just annoying. And for Roger Goodell to say, like, you know, it's the integrity of the game. That's what he used. That's the term he always uses. How are you going to respect you as an NFL player? You're supposed to hold yourself accountable for everything
to a higher standard.
To a higher standard.
You go out and you get drunk.
You out and get drunk and you use a racial slur. And you're doing nothing. Just the Eagles organization is doing a punishment, and you're doing nothing. Now, if I'm looking at how you've been this stone cold commissioner, you've done far more to other people, to me, that was like basically BS stuff. And then, they did BS stuff, and you almost, you know, you suspended them or whatever. This dude used the word, and most of your players or your impact players are African American. So, what the hell does that mean?
It means exactly what
RG3 is your highest. RG3 is your highest jersey sale, am I correct, in the NFL?
I think it's Colin Kaepernick.
And now it's Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah.
All right, so now it's Colin Kaepernick. What is his race?
He's mixed.
Mixed, but the one drops theory. You know what it is.
Yeah.
He's going to be noticed as what?
No, African-American.
African-American. So basically, for a player now who makes you a lot of money, this guy has used a turn of shit that offends, I'm sure it offends him as well. You're doing anything. You're not doing nothing. It makes no sense.
It makes no sense to me. Much to the chagrin of the Eagles, Mayor Michael Nutter of Philadelphia is calling for Chip Kelly, Howie Roseman, and Jeff Lurie to do more than just, you know, send them away for – he was away for what, 4 days?
And he's back.
And he's back at practice. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
And I'm hearing, like, everybody's, you know, giving him a high five and stuff when he
– Well, yeah, you know, and like I said, you know, I believe that – whenever someone makes a mistake, you should forgive them and you should move on. But at the same time,
the organization itself should have
the organization itself, exactly, should hold themselves to a certain standard, which they failed to do in this case. And because of that, me being an African American man, I cannot, in clear conscience and clear mind, support the Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm just a man with no country.
It's crazy, especially with a team that has been. But who's had African American quarterbacks for like years,
and also that's in a predominantly African American city,
exactly, it's
and
amazing.
Whose first game is in a African American city in Washington D.C. in prime time,
yeah.
And you think it's just going to go away?
It's not.
You need to address it. There needs to be leadership. Needs to step up and make the right decision. Even though we know that Jeremy Maclin's gone down and Aurelius Ben have both gone down with ACL tears, you need to do what the correct thing is, which is suspend him for a couple of games or eradicate him from the roster.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that he should lose his job, lose his life, his livelihood, but do I think he should be suspended some games?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, he should be suspended. I don't think he should lose his job, but he should be suspended. Anyway, let's move on down to pregame. Vince Young signs it with the Packers.
Terrible signing for Vince Young, just for this reason. Vince Young is a guy who was 31-19 as a starter, two-time Pro Bowler. He's playing behind who?
The bad man, Aaron Rodgers.
And he'll never touch the field unless they try to use some type of read option, a gimmick, which I doubt they would because they're not going to want to break up the groove that Aaron Rodgers has. So what is he going to just be confined to taking practice reps?
Yeah, maybe get to learn.
Yeah, he'll get to learn, but to me, just Vince Young wasn't the type of guy who, how can I say this? He's like Tim Tebow. He wasn't the type of guy that seemed to excel at the X and O's of the game.
Yeah.
But once you turn on the lights, once you put on the shoulder pads, once they get on the field, smell that green grass, and get their snaps, he goes out and wins. He produces.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, Mike McCarthy can fix some of his mechanics and improve him as a quarterback, but I don't necessarily think this is a good signing for him just because he won't get the reps and he won't touch the field.
He helped out the kid that was now, I guess he's in Oakland now.
Terrell Pryor?
No, not Terrell Pryor. He got traded to Oakland. He was with the
Matt Flynn?
Yeah, Matt Flynn. So maybe you can be able to help it. Because Matt Flynn in college, to me, wasn't a passer. Matt Flynn looked better in preseason games than he did in college.
Yeah, because he went to LSU, right?
Yeah, he didn't look good as a passer. So maybe he can do some wonders for Vince Young. I don't know.
We'll see.
I'm not going to judge it. The Hall of Fame was over the Hall of Fame happened over the weekend. Chris Carter, Warren Sapp, Bill Parcells, name a few, were inducted to the Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Your thoughts on that?
I really didn't watch all of the speeches. No, I didn't. I heard about Chris Carter's speech. A lot of people were kind of turned off with it. It's kind of because they say he has the Michael Jordan syndrome, which it was all about me. And then, you know, it is his moment. You know, he's worked incredibly hard to reach the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but people wanted to hear his story of those who helped him reach this point. And everyone was said it was just about him. And, you know, he has all that right to talk about himself because he earned it. He stepped on the field, and he's gone through trials and tribulations. I'm not, you know, really a big Hall. I don't get hyped up like everyone else does for the Hall of Fame game or the Hall of Fame inductee, you know. Mm-hmm. But one Hall of Fame speech I will look forward to when he's inducted is Ray Lewis. So, and I enjoyed Curtis Martin a couple years back, and I enjoyed Michael Irvin's and Deion Sanders, their Hall of Fame speeches. Warren Sapp, I saw his, you know, he started crying, breaking up towards the end when he was talking about his ex-wife.
How she took over his money?
Nah, just how she was his rock and, you know, she held him down. Me personally, I wouldn't have been like that. I'd have been like...
I know, right?
But, you know, everyone's relationship is different with their exes. So.
Hey, I wanted to see Chris Carter. I'm a YouTube Chris Carter's Hall of Fame speech. Because this one guy I actually wanted to see get in a long time ago. I think it was well-deserved. They was getting screwed. Because his interaction with the media, with a lot of these players get screwed with the interaction with the media.
Yeah, look at a guy like Art Monk. You see how long it took him to get in.
So it's like, which I don't really understand. We'll talk about that later. But I don't get why the media is in, like, writers and the media are involved in the whole process.
Yeah, I think that former Hall of Famers, former coaches, and former players should make up the panel of who gets into the Hall of Fame.
They know the sweat and tears to even play professional football.
And not to discount writers, I think there should be some writers on the panel, but I don't think it should just be a majority of writers because you know some of them may have a past vendetta, and they can influence other writers' vote.
Exactly. Did you watch the preseason football game?
Absolutely not.
You didn't watch the Cowboys game?
No, they said it did 10.1 million viewers, though.
Did it really? Football? Yep. Crazy. I didn't watch the game. Once I saw Orton as the quarterback playing, no Romo, I did see, what's his name, Tannehill play a little bit. But I'm not a big Tannehill fan. Anyway, speaking of preseason, Redskins preseason game starts up Thursday against the Tennessee Titans, 8 o'clock. When we get back from commercial break, we'll be talking about the Redskins-Titans game. RG3. No, some of the interesting battles within the preseason game was going to happen that's probably going to pick out the positions. Anyways, the Urban Sports Team on the Eyes Radio Network.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Blow up last season. Every win. Every loss.
blow it all up. Because all that matters is what you do next.
Like you killed on purpose. Liars brag you put work in. You ain't mean to murk him. Your guns are virgin. Streets are full of them.
You can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.podbean.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Steeler Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Steeler Fan. I mentioned the Redskins game is on Thursday at 8, so you will not see me on the Sports Crib Podcast Show. I'm a Skins fan. I got to watch my Skins. So
I'm a man with no country, no team to support. So I guess, you know, I'll watch the game and, you know, go from there.
It's okay, man. Just buy an RG3 jersey.
Nah, RG3 not jersey. Happening.
You should, man.
Not happening.
Join our side.
Nah, we not don't, happening.
We're not racist against black people.
Maybe you are racist against Indians.
I said it too. I didn't deny it. Jeez, Will, God, give us some credit, Lord. We ain't using the N word, God. Lee, crazy man. We went to Riley Cooper in D.C. Yeah. He be around town. That man be lynched. He was right. I'm sorry. Yeah. Is that right word? Can I use that word?
Yeah, you can.
Riley Cooper be getting lynched living in D.C. I'm sorry. Anyway, Redskins are, like I said, they're playing the Tennessee Titans. What do you want to see in this game?
I want to see how the first team defense, the secondary, most importantly, holds up. You have two rookies who most likely be starting back there.
No, not two rookies, just
Bakari Rambo.
Bakari Rambo is the only one starting. Brandon Merriweather is going
to
start.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how Bakari Rambo holds up, because I actually do think he's one of the steals of the draft. Yeah, I was very impressed with the way he played at the University of Georgia. I want to see that. I want to see how I want to see the pass rush. You know, with I want to see how Rakpo and Kerrigan, are they able to put some pressure on the quarterback. And I want to see how Kirk Cousins fares during the preseason, because, you know, if RG3 is on schedule to come back during the first week of the season, as he stated that he thinks he is and a lot of people think that he is, the preseason may be the last chance we get to see of Kirk Cousins. So Kirk Cousins could either solidify his spot as a potential starting quarterback for another team in the league, or he could stink it up and people would be like, no, I'm not really a believer. So, you know, I'm interested in seeing those four things.
All right. For me, what I'm interested to see is the return of Roy Helu. See how he's going to look within the offense. Roy Helu, to me, has a breakaway speed. It's going to be interesting to see how he's going to, when he competes. Obviously, won't be competing for the starting running back position, but for the backup running back position. He may have an opportunity to look good running in the read option. If you can think of him in the read option with RG3, that's speed on speed. So you got two guys, individuals, who run a 4-3, or we're at a time listed of running a 4-3 in the backfield together. So that's one thing I'm interested to see. I'm also interested in the cornerback battle between David Amerson and Josh Wilson. Right now, Josh Wilson is a starter, but I do look for David Amerson to be the starting cornerback for the Washington Redskins alongside of D. Hall. And to see what's going to happen with Phillip Thomas. We're talking about Bakari Rambo at the, I believe he's playing the free safety position, but Phillip Thomas is listed as a strong safety right now for the Washington Redskins. So, and that's where Brandon Merriweather plays. And right now, Reed Dowdy's ahead of him in the depth chart. So I want to see if he can beat out Reed Dowdy. Obviously, Reed Dowdy's the guy that, you know, the defense has them trust, because he's always at the right place. But, you know, Phillip Thomas is a guy who makes plays and is a guy who was known in college as, you know, picking the ball off. So I want to see all this pan out. And I know, again, this is going to be easy. And this is another one, too. You know, Fred Davis coming back from a torn Achilles tendon. No one's ever the same after that. And I want to see what's going to happen with Jordan Reed, to see if maybe he's going to be the tight end to take over if Fred Davis doesn't look 100%.
Yeah, just word from Redskins training camp is Jordan Reed has looked very good during the practices. You know, Fred Davis looks to almost be, you know, you can't tell until you put on the pads and, you know, there's a linebacker or a safety, you know, checking you. But they say he looks to be back to his old self. Doesn't have 100% of the burst that he used to have off the line of scrimmage.
It's natural.
Yeah, and another thing I just thought of, I want to see what Santana Moss's role will be in this offense. Because if you think about it, you got Josh Morgan.
Yeah.
You have Pierre Garçon.
Aldrick Robinson.
Leonard Hankerson.
Dante Stallworth.
Then you have Devery Henderson.
Yeah.
You know, even though Santana Moss didn't catch a lot of passes last year, he caught some touchdown passes. So I'm interested to see, do the Redskins keep his workload the same, try to reduce it and phase him out? Or, you know, do they, you know, because he's getting, I think this is 12th year in the league.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what direction they're going to go in with using him.
The only person that can phase Santana out would be Aldrick Robinson, out of names you mentioned.
Yeah, and there's another young guy in training camp for the Redskins, another young wide receiver who's a burner who people were talking about. I had a friend of mine, he actually went down to Richmond. Yeah, he went to Richmond for the training camp. I was actually thinking of doing it.
God bless his heart.
One day during the week, one time during this week, we'll see if I make it down there. Highly unlikely, but it's a thought. It's still in the thought phase right now.
That means it's not happening. Go ahead, continue.
No, so I'm interested in seeing, you know, what Santana Moss's role will be. You know, he's getting 12th year in the league. See what he, you know, how they choose to use him. Will they use him in the slot primarily? Will they line him up wide? You know, will he get a lot of reps, a lot of balls thrown his way? So. Interested in seeing that.
Well, he's one of RG3's favorite targets in the clutch. If you watch how, you know, when we had, like, drives to score or whatever, Santana Moss was a guy that RG3 relied on. So I think Santana will be okay. He'll find a niche for himself. I don't think you have to really worry about Dante Stallworth making the team. I think he's just here for competition.
You think he's a camp body?
Yeah, he's a camp body. And Devery Henderson is interesting. Devery Henderson, I like his speed, but I think he's a camp body in a way myself. But I would like to keep Devery Henderson just because the speed he possesses. And if you watch him with the Saints, he was always good. You know, he was always open with the deep ball. He was always open for Drew Brees going deep. So that's a guy I would be interested in keeping. Let's go to some Kirk Cousins talk. Kirk Cousins, which, you know, I know being just the, you know, the first game of preseason, but what do you think about playing him a lot in the preseason, especially the first game?
The first game, no, I wouldn't think of playing him a lot just because simply, you know, you don't want to risk an injury for him if Robert Griffin III isn't able to play that first week or first 2 weeks. You never know how his leg is progressing and how he'll hold up once, you know, they put on the pads and he actually gets live contact. So I would probably play Kirk Cousins, who's going to start the game, two series.
All right, not a quarter?
Nah, two series at this point. Next week, second preseason game, you get him a quarter. Then the third preseason game, you get him probably the first half and the first two series. In the third preseason game, he should be good. With that, he's had enough work. You know, he's had work during his rookie year. Then he's taken a lot of the reps with the first team during the camp. So you don't want to risk injury to Kirk Cousins, because if you do, then you're back to where you were
prior,
which is Sexy Rex.
I posed the same question on Facebook about Kirk Cousins. Tony Snow said, hell no, RG3 till maybe week two. I mean, hell yeah, excuse me, to hell yeah, Kirk Cousins should play more in the preseason because RG3 is out maybe till week two. Check out on the Twitter page, the Urban Sports Scene Twitter page. My man George Templeton, basically his name is at Temp the Rat. Maybe one full quarter, but that's it for Kirk Cousins. Like, basically, almost agreeing with Willis stating that, you know, he's the best option at quarterback if RG3 can't play to the regular season. So why take the chance of playing him more, like maybe a half or whatever? I'm almost on the side of playing him a half. I throw caution to the wind in the preseason. I think this stuff is overrated, but only for RG3 because he's a franchise. It's different. For Kirk Cousins, isn't the franchise. So to me, give him all the work he can get. You know, I want him to be the best he's going to be. I mean, he played a backup last season. Not like he was a starter last season, though. He got some game reps, but I think they'll be good for him just to play like maybe like in the first game, play a quarter. Second game, play two halves. Third game, two halves again if you want to. Maybe
so
three.
You want to play him the whole game?
No, I'm playing the whole game.
You said two halves.
No. First game. Mm-hmm. play him a quarter. Mm-hmm. Second game, play him. I'm sorry, play him a half. I apologize. Okay. A half. Third game, play him a half. If you want to play three, that's cool. Three quarters, that's cool with me. And the fourth game, don't have to play at all.
Well, it'll be interesting. Another thing I want to see is what would the offense look like with Kirk Cousins as the quarterback? That's you run the read option?
That's true.
Like you did with
He said he's comfortable reading it, running it now due to the fact, you know, he had a whole year to look at it because they didn't really run it with him during preseason like that.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see also.
Anyway, it's about time for another commercial break. When we get back, we'll go into college football. Johnny Manziel is in trouble. And also, we're going to talk
about... What else is new?
I know. And also, we're going to talk about some of the exciting college players you want to see during the season. It's the Urban Sports Team, the Eyes Radio Network.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself. But I didn't. Because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
Shout
out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep, you know, we'll keep the hits coming. You can also listen to us on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Apple G's Radio Show. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. The show is hosted by Coach and the lovely Viv. What's up, Viv?
What's up, Coach? What's up, Viv?
All right. I mentioned Johnny Manziel before the break. Johnny Manziel, as you may know already, is in a situation with his autograph signing. He was getting money for autograph signing. Allegedly, for signing certain memorabilia. It's interesting. It sounds pretty bad because I think they got videotape. They got pictures now. I think they got videotape of him signing stuff too.
They do?
I think so. I think I heard that recently. I could be wrong. Please don't quote me. But I know it's a given. They have a picture. Him signing something.
I mean, you know, if they just have him signing something and he's not taking cash, then that shouldn't be a problem. But evidently there are witnesses who can attest to him actually receiving the funds in exchange for his autograph of memorabilia. To me, you wouldn't have this problem if you paid college kids. Instead of just saying, well, your scholarship is payment enough, BS, because I don't know what type of return on investment that is, because a number of these universities make hundreds of millions of dollars off of these kids, and all they get is a scholarship, three hats, and a cat, and paid for books and tuition. If this is in fact true, this just goes down another, just adds to the list of some of the questionable decisions he's made during the past 3 months.
I think some of this stuff has been overrated, don't get me wrong. Like, a college kid's going to party, so I didn't really...
A college kid is going to party. You know, both of us at the age of 20, we both know that,
Ripping
and running, we had a lot of fun. But at the same time, the old adage is true towards him, to much is given, much is...
That's true.
Much is...
That's true.
Excuse me, you know what it was.
Yeah, I know. Much as expected.
Yeah. Johnny Manziel, essentially, when you're the Heisman, they say you're supposed to conduct yourself in a certain way.
Dignitary.
Yeah, dignitary. You know, he's 20 years old. He's on Instagram and Facebook with him drinking.
Yeah.
And, you know, tell you the truth, I did that at 20, but I just didn't.
I
don't put it out there for everybody to see. There's a lot of things I do. I don't put it out there for people to see. But yeah, just not only that, but just, you know, the whole Manning camp thing and pictures of him being in the club with rappers and entertainers and athletes, you know, popping bottles and things of that nature. I hope it isn't true, but if it is true, the NCAA, because they're corrupt, they'll find a way for his suspension to be like 2 games, and then in the third game, September 14th, he'll face Alabama. Yeah, and then
Alabama.
Yeah, so that, you know, they'll find a way that they might suspend him, then he'll appeal, then he'll be able to play September 14th, because that's probably the biggest game in college football in probably the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if he is suspended, then he'll have to serve out the rest of his suspension for the rest of the year. But make no doubt about it, people. September 14th, Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, will be on the field to play Alabama September 14th. They'll find some way for him to be on the field to play.
Well, he should be. I mean, I agree with you. Like, my only thing about Johnny Manziel is, like, dude, you get paid, man. You got oil money. Why are you worried about autographs right now? You know the rules in the NCAA. You getting oil money. Like, you get money. Don't get it twisted. Like, you get money.
Yeah.
Regardless. So, you sign for...
from a very financially affluent family, and
yeah, I'm not saying that they tossing money his way. I'm sure that, you know, they're trying to teach him some family values, and, you know, some for him not to be a spoiled individual. Now, he seems kind of spoiled anyway, but I'm sure they're trying to show him things like, all right, we're not going to hand you money anytime you want it. But at the same time, dude, is really like you get some money.
Yeah,
like you can make it rain in the strip club.
If it is true,
yeah,
then this is probably the worst. And I will go as far to say dumbest decision he's made this far.
That's true.
Because, you know, in the NCAA, as an amateur athlete, you're not supposed to accept money. And furthermore, with the high profile that you keep and the target you put on your back.
You put on your back.
This has to be your dumbest move ever. And, you know, I don't know Johnny Manziel, but from a distance, he looks like a pretty smart kid who has it all together. But if in fact he has taken money, and not only has he taken money, they have proof and pictures of him taking money, it's the dumbest move you ever made.
So let's move off Johnny Manziel. Something cool. You know, college football's coming back. There's a lot of good young players. Everybody knows about Clowney. You got
Johnny Manziel,
Marquise Lee. You got De'Anthony Thomas in Oregon. So you got some really exciting players in college football. Name me your top 10 or your top college football players.
My top, of course, Jadeveon Clowney. But the guy I'm intrigued by, the guy I want to see, is Tommy Bridgewater, the quarterback from Louisville.
That's what Jeffrey Walter said on Facebook,
Teddy Bridgewater. I want to see him. I want to see if he's able consistently to have that high completion percentage. I want to see how does he stack up and play this year with, you know, essentially the limelight on him, because, you know, there's reports that he'll be the number one quarterback taken this year.
Yeah.
So I want to see how he responds.
Over Johnny Manziel?
Of course.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how he plays out. And also another side story, I'm interested to see what Penn State does in season 2 of this suspension.
That's good.
For the program. So those are probably, you know, seeing him, and also want to see how Bill Bradley pans out with Penn State in that program.
My homegirl Tabitha Mayo on Facebook says Braxton Miller is number one, of course. That's who she wants to see. She's a Buckeyes fan. Fudge you. With Braxton Miller. I love you, Tabitha, but Braxton Miller, I'm a Michigan fan. Fudge Braxton Miller and fudge your Buckeyes. I said it. I mean it with all my heart. Anyway, who I want to see first? I want to see Barry Sanders Jr., baby. He's at Stanford. I seen him on YouTube. He's Barry Sanders. I want to see Barry Sanders Jr. That's number one.
Talent skips a generation.
Now, you seen his clip?
No, I haven't.
YouTube? Oh, my God. His high school clips? Oh, he's special. Kid special.
Okay. I want, you know.
He all days his dad, but he's special. Secondly, I want to see Clowney. We all saw what he did, my boys in Michigan. That hit. We did the Vincent. He popped Vincent. So I want to see Clowney.
The hit of the century.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But you know, they're hyping everything he does now. Like,
yeah, they had the YouTube clip of him and a teammate flipping over the dummy.
He did it himself.
No, he didn't.
Like, he's the GOAT. No, I need to stop that. I want to see Marquise Lee. I think he is a phenomenal young wide receiver for USC. I want to see Johnny Manziel. See what he can do. Bounce back. I think, honestly, for me, I think he's gonna have a tough season this season. All the, you know, beating Bama. I think Bama's going to make him pay for what happened last season in Tuscaloosa. I think they beat him at Tuscaloosa, right?
Yeah, they beat him in Tuscaloosa
They beat him in Bama?
They beat him in Bama last year. Okay, so they'll be in College Station this year for the game.
So that's payback right there. I want to see DeAnthony Thomas. I think DeAnthony Thomas is a talented dude. Now, a couple guys you may not know. From Miami, from the U, Duke Johnson. If you ever seen Duke Johnson, young running back last season, spectacular. He's a home run hitter. He's actually, if you look at the U and the running backs, he kind of fits the mold. I want to see Duke Johnson. Yeldon from Alabama. You know, Lacey's gone. Yeldon looked really good in the national championship game. Yeldon has the quicks and the explosiveness and the shiftiness to be a special running back in when he decides to leave college football and get into the NBA. I mean, NFL. So you look at Yeldon. Sammy Watkins from Clemson, special talent.
Yeah, Taj Boyd. I want to see how he steps up and plays this year, especially when they play South Carolina, because Clowney said that he believes that Boyd is afraid of him. So I want to see
Nice little talk already.
Yeah, so I want to see how Boyd plays when they play South Carolina, and also I want to see the ball coach get that team to the SEC title game.
You want to see? Steve Spurrier.
Steve Spurrier has great quotables, man. He has great lines. His interviews are classic. So I want to see Steve Spurrier get to a BCS bowl game, because his interviews are classic.
Well, see, like I said, Sammy Watkins, wide receiver, great. You want to see Steve Spurrier? I can't believe it. We'll see, man. South Carolina is not the same talent they did. You know, they lost a lot of talent, so we'll see how that pans out. Aaron Murray, one of the better quarterbacks in college football. So you think Teddy Bridgewater's going to beat out Aaron Murray? They can beat out Aaron Murray?
I think he will, just simply because, well.
In terms of the draft?
In terms of draft, just. Bridgewater, his stock is higher right now than Aaron Murray's. Aaron Murray, depending on the year he has, because he plays in a pro style offense.
And in the SEC.
But Bridgewater, you know, he's very cerebral, very good with making the right decision, getting the ball out quickly, and getting it to the right receiver at the right time. So I do think Bridgewater, his stock is a little bit higher right now.
And my last but not least, you know, I'm biased. I have to have one. A Michigan Wolverine. I want to see my man. Devin Gardner, man. I want to see him do some Devin Gardner. What quarterback? You know, Robinson's gone, but Devin Gardner now is a dude that to me showed he can throw the ball, which Robinson couldn't do. So I'd like to see my man Devin Gardner take the realms of the Michigan Wolverines, and he's going to be able to run a pro style offense with the Michigan Wolverines as their starting quarterback. So that was my list.
Okay,
my top 10.
I think between me and you, we came up with some pretty good, impressive things people want to see, that we want to see.
I agree.
Anyway, during the college football season,
I agree.
There's always a dark horse, a guy who comes to the forefront as a. I want to see who's going to be the guy steps up and be the Heisman hopeful,
like Johnny Manziel,
like the Robert Griffin III, of the year before last. So, you know, it'll be interesting. College football season. I love sitting on Saturdays having nothing to do and watching college football.
Yeah, college football is great. You get to see the kids of today become the stars of tomorrow. You can't beat it.
Well said.
And it's a great thing to see. And you can say, yeah, I saw this kid when he was in college, and he was raw. And then you see what he did in the NFL, and it was even special. So I love college football. I'm a fan of it. I dropped off a little bit with my Wolverines, but I'm back in it because I now have time to watch it again. So I love college football.
Yeah.
It's a wrap. You don't want to say anything else?
To Eagles organization, I'm very disappointed, upset. I would have hoped that you would have done the right thing, but you didn't. So, adios. No longer an Eagles fan. You know, fans of the show, write in Twitter, Facebook, email us. Let me know what team you think I should root for, if you care enough to.
Sweet. That's the new thing. Tweet us who you think Will T's new NFL football team should be. I'm saying Redskins. So, a lot of y'all tweet the Washington Redskins for Will T. We'll see.
I'm more bring time. Us three. I'm
we'll
more.
Bring us three. We'll see. Bring us three.
You stupid. I'm more inclined to be a Ravens fan than I am to be a Redskins fan.
Fudge you, son. Fudge you.
Just being honest with you. Joe I went to Flacco. School in Baltimore.
Joe Flacco?
I went to school in Baltimore.
Or something. Stay in the state.
Nah. I think I'm just going to be a fan of football. No alliance, no allegiance to anyone.
Hey, man, just make sure you cheer Robert Griffin III. Anyway.
But I will say that I have become an even bigger fan of LeSean McCoy since the stance he took, and he told the truth, he said that he really can't respect Riley Cooper, for the last 2 years or however long Riley Cooper's been on the team. He thought that they were friends. He thought that he actually knew Riley Cooper as a man and as a person, but once that incident came to light, he can't respect him
Good
anymore.
For him.
He said he'll still block for him and go as hard for him as a teammate, but anything extra
Good
can't
for him.
Do. So I'm actually a bigger LeSean McCoy fan than I was previously.
I heard Vic is a dude who doesn't like Riley Cooper at the moment either. They were mentioning a couple players. It's a rumor though. I didn't say it's factual. It's a rumor.
But like I said, man, I believe in forgiving and moving on in life, and you know, I don't think this one incident should be how we judge Riley Cooper on his life and, you know, the biggest event on his life and when he goes to the pearly gates, if you believe in that thing.
I do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. On, you know, what will decide if he's a good person on earth. But I do just think that moment is a time capsule and lets you know a little bit into his heart and how he felt at the moment and may how he feel about African Americans in general.
Yeah, that was well said, Will T. Now, it's time to say goodbye to all our company. I don't know the Mickey Mouse song anymore. I'm done.
Yeah. All right, man. it's been great, people. Glad to be back. And we'll see you all next week.
Yes, we will. It's the Urban Sports on Eyes Radio.
For ages.
Doses.
You dig? Deuces, bitches.